Pray with me as we start. Our Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to worship you. We've worshiped you in song, in thanksgiving and praises and requests. We've worshiped you in giving this morning, Lord. Now we want to worship you through the word. And we would ask now, Lord, that you would transform our lives through your word right now. I pray that you would help me get out of the way so that your word would come true plainly and in a way that would touch our lives again today. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oswald Chambers, you probably have heard of him, writer. He said, God is love. Not God is loving. God and love are synonymous. They are the same thing. Love is not an attribute of God. It is God. Whatever God is, love is. If your conception of love does not agree with justice and judgment and purity and holiness, then your idea of love is wrong. That's what he said. Spurgeon, you've heard of him, a preacher, Charles. He said, God soon turns away from his wrath, but he never turns from his love. Have you experienced love that way? Have you given love that way? Have you shown love that way? You see, people say today that love cures people. When you love somebody, not in the way that we traditionally think of love, getting something or doing something to get something in return. Not the physical love. Not the intimacy, sexual love. This is a God love. Psychiatrists say that God love cures people, both the ones who give it and the ones who receive it. Isn't it wonderful to feel love? Isn't it wonderful to feel accepted? Isn't it wonderful when you walk into whatever, whether it be your room, your family, your friends, you know, people that may not even like you, but you feel love. That changes everything, doesn't it? It makes you feel a sense of worth. It makes you feel like you belong. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God's love is eternal. Never changes. It's always there. Now, I don't know about you, but if you think back, where the first day you were married. Now, Paul and Patty, you guys have to wait a little bit. But if you think back, right, to you when you were first married, man, you were so in love and you were so excited for your mate. And you were just, oh, this is just the perfect woman. This is the perfect man. Oh, it's just amazing. I could never have imagined to have found such a wonderful mate in my life. Amen? You're so excited. Oh, it's just fantastic. It's going to be, the rest of your life is going to be that taste right there. That's what it's supposed to be. Amen? But as you probably have experienced, love takes work. Love takes effort. From the human perspective, Love takes patience. Love takes a lot of work on our part. And perhaps the hardest thing that we can experience as human beings is when somebody says to you, I don't love you anymore. That's like somebody taking your heart out and throwing it outside. That's like somebody taking your life without actually taking your life. You feel devastated. Somebody telling you, I don't love you anymore. Then you start questioning, how come? If I had just been the same, if I had, you know, if I had been more understanding, if I had been more loving, if I had not gained that weight, if I had done more running, if I had eaten more healthier, you start questioning yourself, correct? What did I do wrong? Why am I not accepted? Why am I not loved? And perhaps the only thing most human beings want to feel is love. And we do whatever it takes to make sure that we feel that love, that we understand that acceptance. Let me this morning present to you God's love. And then hopefully we can try to understand some of these questions that are so hard to look up. Number one, the characteristics of the love of God. Number one, the love of God is unmerited. What does that mean? That you cannot earn it. That God is not going to love you more because you lost 10 pounds this month. God is not going to love you less because you gained 10 pounds during the holidays. Right? God's love is unmerited. The love of one human being for another is because of something in them. Because they did something good, because they are good. But the love of God is free, uncaused, unmerited, in effect. Moses told Israel in 1 John 4:19, God loved us before we had anything in us that was deserving of love. So God's love, it's unmerited. We can't earn it. It's like salvation. God's love is just there. It's always there for us. Let's look at some of these verses. 1 John 4:19, if you have your Bibles this morning. Let's go over there pretty fast. 1 John. Actually, you know, they've told me today that we have potluck downstairs. Amen? So they've told me I can go as long as I want because we've got food downstairs. I'll try to get you out as soon as I can. But amen that we have potluck. That'll be good downstairs. 1 John, what I say? 1 John 4:19 says, we love because what? He first loved us. You know, I've met couples and I've counseled with couples that are afraid to love. They are afraid to show that emotion. The husband says, well, you know, if I show my cards that I love her and that I really, really love her and that I really, really want to be with her, I'm afraid that she'll be scared by my love. Or the wife or the soon-to-be wife will say, well, you know, I don't really want to fully surrender myself. I don't really want to, you know, show that I really love him because he might leave me for somebody else. Then I'll be really hurt. You see, when we think of love, we think that somebody has to earn it before we can give it to them. We think that they have to do something to earn it. But God says, I have loved you first. Before we ever loved them, He loved us. And that is important to note because, again, God's love, number one, is unmerited. Number two, God's love is eternal. everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. You see, God himself is eternal. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. And this morning in the Sabbath school lesson, we talked about the lawgiver. God as the lawgiver. And if you understand God as the lawgiver, you have to understand that God is love. And if you understand that God is love, you understand that his law has to be also love. So his law is not a list of things to do and not to do. His law is his character, his love. And when we understand that his character is love and that his government is love and that his love is eternal and that God himself is eternal, then we can see and understand, perhaps in a minute sense, how great God is. You see, since God has no beginning, his love also doesn't have any beginning. It's always been there. It's been there forever. Love is more than just feeling. It is an act. God showed his love for us in giving us Jesus Christ. How clear then our text in Jeremiah 31:3, where he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God's love doesn't change for you. God's love doesn't end. I was sitting in my office. Husband walks in first and says, I'm done with her. I'm done. She's not what she was 20 years ago. And so I'm sitting there and I'm fastly thinking in my mind, well, I'm not what I was 10 years ago either. You know? And so I asked him, well, are you what you were 20 years ago? And he kind of caught himself, you know. And he said, no, I'm not. But because she's not, I don't want to be with her anymore. Well, so he walked out. She comes in. Same thing. He's not. Folks, none of us are what we were yesterday. And that can be a positive. That can be a positive. You see, God's love doesn't change because we change. God's love doesn't change because we fall. God's love doesn't change because we do or we don't do. God's love is eternal. It is constant. It is always there. God's love is unmerited. Can't do anything to earn it. God's love is eternal. God's love is universal. Now, you thought that God loved you more than he loved somebody else. Amen? You thought that God loved Seventh-day Adventists more than he loved Baptists. Amen? I'm sorry if there's any Baptists in here. Right? Sometimes we think that God loves us more than he loves somebody else. But you see, God's love is eternal. God's love is unmerited. God's love is universal. That means that he loves all people. John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved Seventh-day Adventists. For God so loved Baptists. For God so loved Mexicans or Hispanics or Vietnamese or Canadians. Right? What does the Bible say? God so loved the world. It doesn't even say God so loved the saved. It says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, doesn't matter who, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, the good, the bad, the sick, the well, the rich, the poor, the sinner, the saint, every creature on this world, God loves them all. And he loves them all the same. The insane, the dirty, the diseased, the sinful, the hateful, the hurtful, he sent his son to die for them all. That might be news to you. Because sometimes we think, man, you know, I'm really good. Lord, I've done really good. You know, you should love me more than you love somebody else. As a matter of fact, go to Joshua with me this morning. We looked at Joshua last week, but let's look at it from a different perspective now. Joshua chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Let me set the scene here. The Israelites are about to go to battle in Jericho. They have been instructed, you know, they got the priests, they got the trumpets, they got the people ready to march. They are going into battle. All right? Verse 13. So that's the background. Verse 13 says, Joshua's leading the people. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. So this is, I mean, they're going to battle. Here's a man with a drawn sword. That's battle, right? Now Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" So Joshua is asking, "Are you with me or are you against me?" All right? Now, as humans, that's what we do, right? If you're not with me, you are automatically against me, right? Or if you're with the person that I don't like, then you're automatically with that group and I don't like you, okay? That's what we do as humans. So Joshua's saying, are you for us or are you against us? What is the individual respond? In verse 14, he says, neither. That's surprising, right? He says, neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. Now, who is the commander of the armies of the Lord? That is Jesus Christ. This is Christ who Joshua is talking to. Joshua is talking to Christ, and Christ is saying to Joshua, I'm neither for you, neither for your enemies. That's surprising, isn't it? Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asking, what message does my Lord have for his servant? Verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. Have you heard that before? You see, God's love, here's the point, is universal. God loves you just as much as he loves your enemies. He doesn't love your enemies any less because you don't love your enemies. God's love is not dependent on our feelings. God's love is dependent on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he died for the entire world. God's love is infinite. Everything about God is infinite. His essence fills the heavens and the earth. His wisdom is infinite, for he knows all things, past, present, and future. God's love cannot be estimated. It's so big, so gigantic, it's so ginormous is a new word that kids are using today. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4. And when you have it, say amen, so that I know that you're still awake. Ephesians, chapter 2, what I say? Verse 4. Amen? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. You see, God's love is infinite, and even in our transgressions, His riches, His mercy stand to us even, you know, God's love just goes beyond whatever we can imagine or think. You see, when my wife fell in love with me, and I was going to bring a picture, I should have done it. You see, when she fell in love with me, I've been running about 35 miles a week. I was about 140 pounds of solid muscle. There was no watermelon. I was just a handsome dude. You wouldn't believe it now. But when she fell in love with me, she fell in love with a man that was just extraordinary. Right? Go on. You see, today I'm not that man. Physically, I'm not that man. But you see, my wife still loves me because she's not looking on the physical. If it wasn't the physical part, folks, we'd be done. It'd be over. But you see, that love, God's love is infinite. It doesn't stop because we stop. God's love is universal. He loves everyone. God's love is eternal. It doesn't stop. God's love is unmerited. We can't earn it. Next one, number five. God's love is immutable. That means God's love doesn't change. During his last night on earth, Jesus, one disciple would betray him. Another would ask, "Lord, show us the Father." Another would deny him three times. And in the critical hour, all would forsake him. Nevertheless, God's love was not dependent on their actions. God's love could not be stopped based on what happened with their decisions. Scientists and psychologists say, and if it's okay with you, I'm going to get very personal right now, that the hardest thing for a human being to do is to love him or herself when they don't believe they're worthy of love. You agree with that? Psychologists say that one of the worst things that can take away our worth of feeling love is being abused. Primarily, sexually abused. Girls have a higher chance of being abused than boys, but those percentages are rising very high. They're rising. So when a woman is stripped of that sense of love, when something happens to a woman or to a man, because it goes both ways, when something happens to a woman in that sense, they feel like they cannot be loved, that they don't deserve to be loved. And folks, you have to understand the mentality. They feel dirty. And you might have experienced that in your life. And you might feel like no one could ever love you. No one should ever love you because of what you went through. Perhaps you live with a woman, you live with a man that has gone through sexual abuse. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, and if you're one of those victims, I don't want you to raise your hand or say anything this morning. I just want you to listen. I want to tell you this morning that God's love for you does not change. You are still worth something. You are still worth everything in the world to God. And a lot of times the question that we ask is, why would God ever allow that to happen? And that's the million-dollar question, amen? Man, if I knew that answer, I would be a millionaire by now. So I could just write a book and put it on there and give half to Elder Ball. Right? Right? 10%. You know, why would God allow that? Folks, here's the answer. Sin is irrational. The devil wants to keep us away from the love of God. And if he can keep us away from the love of God, then he can separate us from God. And if he can get us to believe that it was God who did this or God who allowed it, then he can separate us from God. Amen? You see the thought process? So when the devil attacks us in that form and in that way, he knows exactly where he is going. He knows that we will never be able to trust God. And for women who have suffered any form of abuse, they have a hard time relating to a God in the male perspective. As a father, especially when the abuser has been their father. I don't want you to get all stressed out because I don't want to get too heavy on you. But I want to paint the picture that God's love does not change based on how we feel that we should be loved or not loved. What I'm telling you this morning is that God loves you. God cares for you. He wants you to understand that his love for you does not change. Give him a chance. Let him love you. Let him give you the experience of what it means to be loved. Allow God to heal your wounds. Let's go to Romans. Let's bring this home here. Romans 8:35. You've heard this text before. You've probably read this text. You've probably heard pastors quoting this text. You've probably heard people going through difficulties read this text. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. What's it say? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So if you have suffered trouble, if you have suffered persecution, hardship, famine, nakedness, which could be interpreted in here as a form of abuse, danger, sword, if you are facing death all day long, if you feel like people are getting ready to slaughter you, know and understand this morning that in all these things you are conquerors in Christ because he loved you. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, verse 39, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our God. Amen? Isn't that powerful when you put it in that context? You see, God's love does not change for you because you are wounded. God's love does not change for you because you are injured. May I submit to you this morning the idea that God loves you more when you are hurt and injured. And isn't there one of us in here who is not injured? I think we've all been injured. We're all hurt. We're all incomplete. The God of creation, the God of love, is the God of recreation. He can recreate us anew. So the love of God is unmerited. The love of God is eternal. The love of God is universal. The love of God is infinite. The love of God is unchangeable. It doesn't change. And the sixth one, the love of God is holy. It is not regulated by temper tantrums. It is not regulated by passion or sentiment, but is regulated by principle. And that principle is the righteousness of God. God's love being holy. And when you experience that love, you are brought up to the level where God is. It's a miracle. It really is a miracle. Take, for example, Mary Magdalene. Theologians estimate that she was abused, most likely by her uncle, Simon, as a young lady. That she had lived a life of prostitution, that she had been encircled, and that demons had taken over her body, that she had lived a life that was just a horrendous, painful life. Yet, when God's love confronted her and she accepted that love, that woman was transformed. And she became not only a strong force for the gospel, but one of the leading forces for the gospel to go forward. A woman. Oh no, it wasn't overnight. It took some time. It took some effort. But you see, God's love transforms us. Because it never stops. It never changes. It never ends. It never wavers. God's love is constant. And may I submit to you this morning that when we experience God's love in our salvation, that we should then share those same principles of love with our family, with our churches, with our friends, with our enemies. Because you see, at that point, it is not our love, but it is the love of God flowing through our life. And that is the biggest testament, the biggest testimony we can give about God is letting that love flow through our lives. Amen? So as we finish, love is the profoundest practical need of mankind. That's what we need the most. Dr. Merringer said, half of the diseases are due to hate, and half of the accidents are due to hate. Do you believe that? You know, a hateful person, man, they just don't live very long lives. They just don't. I mean, if you point out a hateful person, you know, they won't make it very long. He continued to say, love is the remedy. Then he universalized it by saying, love is the medicine for the sickness of the world. Then he said, yes, it is, and it is God's love through his followers. Jeremiah said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. God's love never ends. You are extensions of his love. And I would tell you this morning that there's probably 1,000 reasons why we shouldn't love some individuals. Right? You know where I'm going. It's probably 1,001 reasons why we shouldn't love somebody. But God says, love them anyway. Because in loving them, through God's love, you can change their hearts. As a matter of fact, not you. God can change their hearts through your love. And in doing so, you bring back together the connection that God wants to have with his people. So fathers, love your children. Love your wife. Not in the human love, but in the godly love. Mothers, love your family. Love your husband. Love your pets. Love your birds. I mean, love. Don't let anyone stop you from loving with the kind of love that God has given you. May God bless you this morning. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we again thank you so much for your love for us. We pray that that love would transform our lives so that we can show what your love can do. And Father, I just want to bless this congregation this morning from the words of 2 Corinthians 13, where it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be with us all. Amen. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us everywhere we go this week. Bring us back together to worship you again, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. May God bless you.